this afternoon, I want you to turn to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. I'll begin reading one verse, but then I want to skip over a few verses and get to this particular Bible study that I believe God would have for the next few moments in our life. One writer said, in the Gospel of John, it is written in a very simplistic way. You can study many other books of the Bible, such as the Gospel of Luke. He was a physician. He was a very detailed writer. But that is not so with the Gospel of John. As a matter of fact, he was very specific in the way and the pattern of his writing. Though it was a very simplistic way of writing, there are many deep truths that we find in the Gospel of John. Now, as we begin to read in John chapter 6, what we will study this afternoon, you have read it, no doubt you have memorized it, you have heard it in your Sunday school rooms, but we understand, as F.B. Meyer said many, many decades ago, that many of our more popular truths and familiar truths in the Word of God are sometimes the most neglected truths in the Word of God. Now, watch John chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Jesus had been working miracles, Jesus had been preaching, and the Bible said in John 6:1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and watch verse number 2, and a great multitude followed him for this reason, because they saw his miracles, which he had did on them that were deceased. They had watched him literally raise the dead. We spoke of the funeral services that we were at this week, and the preacher has been to the same situations this week. But yet have I been to a funeral service when the body got up from the casket. I'm waiting for the day. I'm excited for the day when I'm preaching behind the pulpit and the body gets up from the casket. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. But if it did, I promise you, it would change my life forever. Do you understand that this group of people, not only was they listening to the greatest preacher that ever walked upon this earth, but they were watching a man that was raising the dead, making the blind to see, causing the lame to walk again. They were experiencing the miracles of God. Do we understand this afternoon? We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a dead Savior, but we serve a God that is a miracle working God. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. It doesn't matter your situation. It doesn't matter how deep the valley may be. There is nothing that our God cannot do. So the Bible said they were following him, not because of who he was, not because of what he said, but they were following him because of what they had saw as he was raising the dead and performing miracles in their life. Now we understand in this same chapter, all of a sudden this multitude that had been to the funerals that had changed their life forever, this crowd that had seen the miracles of God, they were sitting there, and it began to be evening. The Bible tells us that there were 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. Now, you know the story. You have read your Bible. The Bible says that this little lad, this little boy, with this great multitude of thousands that were there, he had 2 fish and 5 loaves. The disciples said, as you and I would say, just send them away. Let them buy their own meal. Let them take care of their own dinner. But Jesus said, give me that fish and give me the bread. Now, you have read the story. You have been in this passage of scripture. All of a sudden, Jesus takes the fish and Jesus takes the bread and he begins to pass it out to the thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Isn't it wonderful to know that even our simplest needs, even the smallest things in our life, God can and God will provide for your life. Understand, we are in the habit, especially in the United States of America, that we think we must do it ourselves. And we are taught, as we should be taught, that we should work and we should labor and we should go after it ourselves and make our fortune and make our money. But do you realize, young person, do you understand that, young person, it would be a whole lot better idea
just to give your life to God and go out and do everything God wants you to do. And I promise you, God can take better care of you than the university. God can take better care of you than the government. God can do more for you in your life than any other man can do. So all of a sudden, they eat the bread and they eat the fish. Now, according to the Bible, the multitudes were fed, but there were 12 baskets left over. You know what that tells me, young person? Not only can God provide, but God can do more and far exceeding than what you ever dreamed and what you ever imagined. I began to think about this early this morning. I've been preaching now for 23, 24 years, and I remember men told me, you must do this and you must do that. You must prepare for this. And I understand all of those things. And I went to Bible college, got over it. Somebody help me right there. But anyhow, I went, got my little piece of paper, and then the same would tell me, you got to do this and you got to do that. But I remember, preacher, I was praying up in a mountain one day, and all of a sudden God began to speak to me. And he said, Brother Dale, just trust me. Just lean on me. Everything's going to be okay. And I don't know about your life, but I know about my life. And now for 24 years, I'm here to tell you everything's been okay. Not only has he gave me the bread, not only has he gave me the fish, but there's been 12 baskets left over. I'm just here to tell you today, child of God, lean on him and trust in him, and everything's going to be all right. Not only did he give them what they need, but there was far more than they ever dreamed and they ever imagined. We know the passage. All of a sudden, Jesus got away from the multitude, and he commanded the disciples to get on a ship in this particular passage. Now the storm was raging. By the way, the disciples were simply doing what God had commanded them to do. And right in the midst of the commandment, the Bible said the waves began to beat against the walls of the ship. No doubt the thunder began to roar and the lightning began to flash. They were in one of the greatest storms of their life. Can I say it this way today, young person? If you serve God, it will not always be a mountaintop experience. If you decide to give your life to Jesus, it will not always be smooth sailing. But I'm glad he's still a water walking God. And I'm glad right in the middle of the storm, here comes Jesus. And he said these words, be not afraid, for it is I. Do you realize he's not just your God on the mountain, but he's your God in the valley. He's your God in the storm. He's your God in the darkness. God will take care of you on land. God will take care of you on sea. There's nothing our God cannot do. So right in the storm, Jesus gets on the ship. Peace be still. And the waves had to be calm. Now watch the Bible in the same passage in verse number 23, John chapter number 6. We have already found out that he's a miracle working God. So the Bible said in John 6:23, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh or near unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. Now watch verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, notice what they did. They also took shipping. They got on a boat and they came to Capernaum. Watch this now. Still seeking for Jesus. They were doing everything they could to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say it this way today? Thank God you showed up on a Saturday afternoon. Thank God you did the abnormal. You did not do what most people are doing in this Saturday afternoon in the United States of America. And let us be reminded, most people are not seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Most people are not doing whatever they need to do to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ. But young person, be very careful and watch the word of God. We must understand there was a reason and there was a motivation that they were seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch verse 25. Here's the text. And when they had found him, Hours before, they had just ate the bread. Hours before, can you imagine, they had just ate the fish. It was unlike any bread or any fish they had ever tasted. I can imagine that little boy's mother, she gave him the bread. She prepared the fish. But when it touched the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, it made all the difference in the world. Can I say it this way, young person? You ought to prepare. You ought to practice. Young preacher, you ought to do everything you can to study and labor in the Word of God. But I'll tell you the difference is, it's when God touches your bread. It's when God touches your fish. It'll make all the difference in the world. They had just ate the bread hours before. They had just ate the fish hours before. And they were seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Now all of a sudden on the other side, they found the Lord Jesus Christ. So watch verse 25. On the other side of the sea, they said unto him, not Lord, not Master, but Rabbi. They knew him as a teacher. When camest thou hither? I love the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, we know this as students of the Bible. That simply means take heed, pay attention. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me. But watch this. Not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. They were not looking for something spiritual. They were searching for something physical. They had ate the bread. They had ate the fish. It was something they could see. It was something they can feel. Can you imagine? They already had thousands there the night before. But by this time, I believe the crowd had been added to. I believe they went to their friends. I believe they went to their neighbors and said, you ought to see this. You can you imagine when we were there just yesterday evening and we ate the fish and we ate the bread and they went to get everybody they could, but not for the spiritual, not for what they couldn't see, but what for they could see and what they could feel. Do you understand that this afternoon we could have this building packed 1,000 times 1,000 if we'd get rid of the preachers, if we'd get rid of gospel music, and if we'd do something that they could see, and if we'd do something they could feel, because that's exactly what the majority of the crowd is searching for today. And can I say it this way, young person? Oh yes, there's bigger so-called churches than this. Yes, there's bigger buildings than this, but they're looking for something they can see. They're wanting something they can touch. But do you realize today the greatest thing that ever happened to any man, the greatest thing that ever happened to any woman, it's not about a bank account. It's not about a mansion on a hill, but it's something you can't see. It's something you can't feel. It was that day when God saved your wicked soul. You didn't see nothing. You didn't feel nothing, but God did something inside of you, and you have never been the same again. They wanted something they could touch. They wanted something physically they could see, not the spiritual, not the supernatural. Watch verse 27, Jesus still speaking. Labor not for that meat which perisheth. They had been working all night to get to Jesus. They knew the storm was there on the sea, but yet they found a boat, many boats, and yet they sailed across the same sea as the disciples. They were working. They were laboring. Why? Because they had tasted the fish. They had touched the bread. But now it's morning time and the sun had rose and they were looking for more food. They were looking for something physical. But Jesus said, what I give to you, it is not something physical. It is not something you can touch. It is not something you can feel. Labor not for that which is physical, young person. I believe the American dream is one of the greatest lies that Satan has ever gave another generation. It's not about the right job. It's not about a nicer house. It's about giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a better day coming, but it's not on this earth. It's not what you labor for down here. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus said, labor not for that meat which perisheth. But here it is. For that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man, what a promise, shall give unto you. Why? For him hath God
the father sealed. So watch the crowd. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? In other words, if you won't do it, show us how to do it. If you won't give us more bread, give us the ability to make the bread. And that's exactly what has happened in religion today. We want to see something fantastic. We want to see something big. We want to see a man that is great. We want to see the right preacher. We want to have the right singers so we can fill up the building. God, if you won't send revival, we'll make revival. God, if you won't send the emotions, we'll form the emotions. God, if you won't do it, show us how to do it. And one of the greatest mistakes in our Bible believing churches, we have learned how to preach, we have learned how to worship, we have learned how to do it ourselves. When God don't do it, we think it's up to us. But can I say it as a songwriter said it? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. It's not about a man, it's not about a preacher, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. God, if you won't do it, and show us how to do it. So watch verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto the same crowd, here's our part. This is the work of God. Ye believe on him whom he has sent. Right. So if I could just be a better preacher, impossible. If I could just be a greater singer, impossible. Jesus said our part is this, faith. Jesus already fed the 5,000. Jesus was already raising their dead. In other words, Jesus was doing things. We can go to 10 Bible colleges. We can get 100 degrees and hang them on our wall. We can do everything that we think must be done. But I'm here to tell you, we'll never do what Jesus has done. We'll never have the power that Jesus has. Why are we depending on religion? Why are we depending upon men? Why are we counting on Dr. and Reverend so-and-so? When we thank you, Lord, when we have everything that we need and a whole lot more. He can feed the 5,000. He can raise the dead. He can calm the stormy seas. There's nothing our God cannot do. Jesus said, instead of you doing it, just put your faith in me and I will do the work through him. Can I say four things and I'm done? There was a focus on the miracle. Verse 30, the same crowd that had just ate the fish bread hours before, they sent therefore unto him. Watch this. What sign? They were still looking for something physical. They were looking for a burning bush experience. They were looking for fire to fall down from heaven. What sign shewest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? In other words, if you give us a sign, then we'll have faith in you. If you show us something, then we'll have revival. If we can see the building is filled, then we'll believe God is working. If we can touch something, if we can see something, God, then we'll believe that you can work in this day. Then we'll believe that you are still a miracle working God. But you listen to me and listen well. Before this building was ever filled one time, before any preacher ever stepped on this platform, he was God. He is God. He always will be God. It's not about what you can see. It's not about what you can feel. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. They were focused on the miracle. Verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. God, you did it for them. God, Moses gave them bread. You did it for them. God, Dwight L. Moody shook two continents for you. You did it for him. God, Charles Haddon Spurgeon led thousands upon thousands. You did it for him. Why not us? God, the Puritans, they saw revivals like we've never seen today. You did it for them. Why not us? We're focused on the miracle.
Yes, God can raise the dead. Yes, God can make the blind to see. Yes, God can heal your cancer. Yes, God can do things that we never dreamed and we never imagined. But listen to me and listen well. We're a winner either way. If I go or if I stay, it's not about the miracle. It's about the God of the miracle. It's not about if God heals me or God does not heal me. Whether I'm sick or whether I'm healthy, whether I'm poor or whether I'm prosperous, He is still God. He is still on the throne. God has never changed. God will never change. It is not about the miracle today.
Amen.
Focused, young person, on the miracle. But number two, notice the Father of the miracle. Verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, the same crowd that had ate the bread and the fish hours before, verily, verily, take heed, pay attention, I say unto you. I love this. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. In other words, not only were they focused on a miracle, but they were looking at a man. If you would just give us another Moses, here we go. If you would just give us another Billy Sunday, if you would just give us another Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and then we would see the world change for God. But you know what Jesus said thousands of years ago, and it's still true today in 2019. It's not about a man. It's not about a preacher. It's not about religion. Why? Because the same God that gave the children of Israel bread, then it's the same God that we are serving today. We don't need a great preacher. We have a great God. We have a great Savior. And He's more than enough. He's all that you'll ever need. Father of the miracle, verse 33. Why? For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. You see the focus of the miracle. We notice the Father of the miracle. Number three, watch verse 34 in the exposition. We see the fascination of the miracle. Then said they unto Him, same crowd, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. They still wanted something they could touch. They still wanted something physically that they could see. Why? Because they were fascinated with the miracle. They were looking for something big. They were looking for something mighty. I got to thinking about this. How are you going to get bigger than God? How are you going to get any mightier than our Savior? What preacher is bigger than the one that spoke this world into existence? What religion, what ministry is bigger than the Savior that bled and died for our sins? I'm here to tell every young person in this building, there's nobody bigger. There's nobody better. You don't have everything you need with Him. You have more than what you need with Him. It's not about a man-made movement. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
number four, and I'm done. Notice the failure of the miracle. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them again, I'm the bread of life. Far more than those two loaves of bread. Why? Because they were already hungry again hours later. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But here's the failure. And here's the message. But I said unto you, I've told you, I've reminded you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. They wanted Him to give them more bread. They wanted Him to find more fish. And give them more fish. And I wonder how many times have we been a meeting just like this and nobody was shouting. Nobody was running up and down the aisles. I used to hear this saying all the time. Nobody was swinging from the chandeliers. I've never seen anybody swing from chandeliers. If you start swinging from these ceiling fans, just warn us. We're all leaving. We're getting out of the way until you're done. I've never seen that happen. I've seen people try to jump pews. It didn't last very long. I've seen a man face plant trying to jump a pew choir. That didn't last very long. All those things, we've watched them happen. And then if they don't happen again, God, where are you at? God, if we could just see it again, then we'll believe. Then we'll trust you. Then we'll know that you're still God.
Jesus said, I can make the bread. I don't even need the little boy. I don't need him to bring two pieces of fish. I spoke this world out of nothing. I don't even need a plate to put them on. I could do all of that. That's nothing to my God. But here's the problem of the miracle. They wanted something they could see. Oh, you should have been to the meeting. Thousands were there. I've been to some pretty big meetings, and I don't even know if God walked in the building. Every now and then, according to Revelation, God's knocking at the church's door. We're looking for something fascinating. We're looking for something that'll physically move us. So we can walk out of the building saying, oh, what a great preacher. And we forget about it's not the man. Jesus said, I could do all that. That's nothing to my God. Listen to me, young person. There is nothing my God cannot do. But listen to me and listen well. You say, oh, if I could preach like that, if I could sing like that, if I had that ability, if that, can I say it this way? If you have Jesus, you don't have enough, you have more than enough. If you have Jesus, it's not about what somebody else can do. It's not about a man or a ministry. It's all about Him. And can I tell every young man, every young lady in this building, just give it to Him. Just put your faith in Him. He'll do more with you than anybody else can do it. In your life, I can make the bread, Jesus said. I could fix the fish, but you still wouldn't believe. Why? Here's why. He was standing right in front of them, God in the flesh, and they still didn't believe. Preacher, me and you have been in some meetings that's been amazing. We really have. We've been in some times where it was really God. But I wonder how many times we've been in a meeting and nobody was shouting and they weren't singing the right songs because they weren't familiar. And we're sitting in the pew wondering where God's at. And the whole time, Jesus is there. And the whole time, I was in one of those camp meetings. They're kind of like buffets. I mean, every now and then you get something good. Most of the time you need to stay away from them. But anyhow, I was in one of those camp meetings. I mean, you had all this and you had that. You had loud, you had quiet, you had tall, you had short, you had long preaching. Thank God you had short preaching. You had all of those things. I heard a man get up there and say, oh God, send the Holy Ghost. I got to thinking, you don't need to pray that. I'm here. I'm saved. He walked in with me. The Holy Ghost don't live in a building, sir. He lives in every child of God. And I'm here to tell you, if you're 5 years old or if you're 100 years old, if you've ever been to Calvary, been washed in the blood, you have all that you'll ever need. Why? Because the failure was this. He was looking for the fascinating. When they failed to see everything they needed and more was right in front of them. Young person, I don't know what God wants to do with your life, but I know this. He's a great God. Young lady, I don't know the plans that God has with your life, but I know this. He can do far greater with your life than you can ever do with your life. Young man, I have no idea what all God has for your life. You say, but if I could just preach like so and so, if I could just sing like that, if I just... No, 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 no. If you have Jesus, you have all that you need and a whole lot more. I want you to stand, if you would, every head bowed, every eye closed. Adley, would you help me?